Welcome to the Blue Stocking Circle podcast, Lady Nerds on Popular Culture. We're your hosts, Ashley,
B,
and Grisel.
And this is Minisode 2.5, Feedback, Favorites, and First Impressions. Since we said the first bit of this Minisode is feedback, we have some. Luna D on Twitter wrote back about our Firefly episode, and she really liked it, which thank you, Luna D, for liking it. She said that she liked the convo about representation, emotional manipulation of damsels in distress, which is good that, you know, that was kind of reaching people. She also brought up an interesting point that we had mentioned shows that got canceled a little early, maybe with not enough time to develop the characters fully. She felt the same, and she brought up Dead Like Me. It's a show, I personally have never seen it. She says that she loved it. It was canceled after two seasons. They tried to tie things up with the movie. So clearly this is not a uncommon problem amongst TV shows. I know B feels the same way, especially about one of your favorite shows.
Pushing Daisies, another Brian Fuller series. I have seen Dead Like Me, and it's excellent. I'd also like to recommend Better Off Ted, brutally canceled after only two seasons. Brilliant show.
So I haven't seen any of these shows, but I'm sure eventually we will be watching them.
You're the reason they were canceled, Grisel.
Oh my god. So much. The weight of it.
It's all your fault.
It's all my fault.
And as some of you may have seen, we had a poll on Twitter about your favorite Firefly quote. We had two or three options, and the answer was unanimous. Everyone's favorite quote from Firefly was, "I aim to misbehave," by Mal. Did you guys think that was going to be the one? Or do you have another favorite quote that is not that one?
I'm still partial to "also, I can kill you with my brain."
I did pick "I am to misbehave."
I think my favorite is Wash at the very beginning. Curse your sudden but inevitable betrayal. But that's because I have a soft spot for him, so anything he says is golden. And talking about Firefly, I hear there is some chatter that Grisel has a confession for us.
So I do have an updated confession to my confession. I already brought B into my secret, but as I was compiling the Pinterest board for Firefly, I did come to appreciate it a lot more.
I'm so happy.
So all the fan quotes and fan images and all that kind of like inspired me a little further. So I would not be, you know, like completely against the idea of watching it again.
Ooh.
I feel like the Grinch. My heart grew three sizes that day. I'm just so happy right now. But that's kind of what I was trying to get across, that it's one of those shows where the more you watch and the more that you get emotionally invested with the characters, it means a lot. And I guess Pinterest was a quick way of getting that.
Pinterest was that little push I needed. So as I told B, if I had to revise my rating, I would give it a 2.5.
Okay, up from...
So it's up. It's going there. We'll see.
Okay, not quite at the 3 yet, but maybe after you watch it again.
Maybe if I watch it again.
Give you that extra half sock and get it
boost.
To... I am hopeful for the future. And then since we're talking about socks, I think we realized we hadn't done a sock rating
for
Solace. We started with Firefly, so we will retroactively go back and give Solace a sock rating out of 5. Grisel, you can start since it was your pick.
So I do love Solace. I don't think it's perfect, so I would probably give it a 3.5, which is something that I really enjoy.
Really?
My eyebrows are up to my hairline.
I thought you'd be in the 4 or 5
so did I.
Range.
Liking other things she's written, I would probably give a 5 to her young adult series.
Okay.
Because I find some of those characters more enjoyable. I do really like Soulless. There's other series of a similar nature that I like more, so I'd give it a 3.5.
I'll go next. I was a newbie. I have to give it a 2 out of 5. It was an enjoyable read. It just wasn't my cup of tea.
Oh, I feel like I want to... My first thought was to give it a 4 because I liked it. Like you said, it wasn't my favorite. I mean, I love it. I appreciate that there are issues with it. But after hearing you guys, you know what? I'm going to give it a 5 because then if we average, we'll get it up over a 3 because I feel bad.
You're giving this the same as Firefly?
I think I am.
Oh. Ooh.
I think I am. I'm also, this is why I don't judge things, because it's hard for me to judge impartially.
I would say that my rating is like my grading when I used to teach. I tend to give a lot of things the average rating because it's really hard for me to like find something that I think is like perfect.
I'm glad I was never used to.
See, I skew up and I like to give things high ratings because I'm always excited about things. So I want everything to be awesome. So I'm going to give a lot more 4s and 5s, I think, just FYI for the future, than 2s and 3s.
I'm glad to hear that because my pick is next.
And speaking of Soulless Crystal, have you heard that a novella is coming out in November?
She has many things coming out soon.
But this is a Lyle and Biffy novella.
I saw, and I thought of you.
I am so excited. So, Blue Sox fans out there, if anyone read Soulless and liked it, and you were like me and you wanted more Lyle and Biffy in your lives, November 4th or 5th, one of those two, it's going to be available as a digital book first and hopefully a print book down the line. Mm-hmm. Read it. She's released the cover image on her website, and it's really, really adorable. I'm really excited. And it's going to be just in time for Christmas, so Christmas story. So something to look forward to.
Retroactive spoiler alert for a ship that wasn't in the first book.
Oh, wait, did I not name names? Okay, if I did not name names, I believe, okay.
Maybe not.
I will believe you, but I think that we've given you guys enough time to read through it if you want it. And if not, spoiler alert. Hey, you guys. So, as you know, Halloween is coming up soon. It's one of our favorite holidays, given that we're all lady nerds, and we all have to dress up as our favorite fictional characters. In the past, I think we've been Peggy Carter, we've been Jessica Jones, and Golden Age Lois Lane, very important to specify which Lois Lane. And we're not going to tell you which one is which. You guys get to guess and see if you can match the blue stocking to the character. So, in honor of Halloween, our favorite segments this time is going to consist of recommendations for our favorite scary books. I mean, I think we can all agree that the scariest book ever is The Handmaid's Tale?
Yep.
Okay, so that being said, we'll go through and name other scary books. Personally, I've always shied away from overt horror stories. I'm a really big chicken, so no Stephen King. I have never read it, nor do I want to see it. That's not my kind of thing, definitely not my cup of tea. One of the creepiest books that I've ever read is the gothic classic Rebecca by Daphne du Maurier. And it is spine-chilling. It has everything that you think that a gothic novel needs to have. It has an unnamed protagonist, festering secrets, and a truly unhinged villain in the form of housekeeper Mrs. Danvers. And she's even more creepy because she's got this veneer of respectability that's there, but it's kind of cracked right from the beginning, and you're just reading the books waiting for something to crack, and it does, and it's great. I'd also recommend World War Z by Max Brooks. It's a zombie novel, so it kind of fits in with the Halloween theme. The conceit of the novel, if you guys haven't read it yet, is that it's a series of remembrances that detail the global devastation wrought by a zombie plague. And the scariest part of it isn't actually the zombies, because they're not described as much as you would think. The scariest part is that you can imagine exactly how the socioeconomic breakdown that happens in the books would happen today. It's really realistic, if you can call a zombie book realistic, and it's petrifying.
Interesting.
And don't judge, if you've seen the movie, don't judge the book by the movie. They really have nothing in common, but the name of the book is way better.
The scariest book I've read is House of Leaves by Mark Z. Danielewski. It's one of those stories within a story, and the story at the heart of the book is about the eponymous house, which is bigger on the inside than on the outside. Not in a cute TARDIS way, but in an I was rocking back and forth at 3 a.m. chanting the house is going to eat me way. On top of this creepy story, the physical book itself is designed to mimic the character's literal descent into madness. So as you read, you start seeing pages with a text in strange formations, or with the words in disorder, or that are pitch black. It's disorienting and unnerving and fills you with a sense of dread. Enjoy! In addition, I'd also like to give an honorable mention to Annihilation by Jeff Vandermeer, the first book in the Creepy Southern Reach trilogy about the mysterious Area X. The movie teaser was recently released, so read the book now while the protagonist is still of Asian descent.
Yeah, that happens way too often. So I'd like to recommend Affinity by Sarah Waters, which is a historical novel set in Victorian England, and it features a heavy dose of gothic inspiration as it explores the line between death and the living. Now, this is not strictly a horror novel, but there's enough psychological horror and what-if scenarios, and it explores Victorian spiritualism very heavily. So it kind of gets into your head and makes you doubt whether what you think you know is true, which is pretty scary, especially if you're reading it late at night before bed. Not the ideal situation. And in a similar vein, Sarah Waters also wrote The Little Stranger, which is supposed to be a horror novel, and even the synopsis makes me jumpy, so I haven't read it, but if you're willing to take a dare, go for it.
And let us know.
And let us know what you think, because I can't read that book. So for a less scary Halloween classic, pick up Ray Bradbury's The Halloween Tree, which is one of my favorite Halloween stories. I saw the 1993 animated adaptation as a kid, and I loved it, and then I found the book, and it's just as amazing, if better. So that's always worth picking up at your local library, or it's not as easy to find, but you can find it on Amazon.
I used to love that movie as a kid.
It was wonderful.
I don't think I've ever seen it.
It's really rare, and it's hard to find.
Mm-hmm. But maybe with Netflix, Hulu,
I think it
their vast reaches of the internet, we can...
I think Amazon Prime has it.
Ooh, and I do have a subscription to Amazon Prime. Okay, I know what I'll be doing come Halloween.
Next time on the podcast, it's my turn to have a work I love brutally torn apart. This work has been on my wish list from the moment we started this podcast, but it was not the episode I planned to host first. However, when we did our Soulless episode, I was reminded of it for reasons that will very soon become obvious. Right after that recording, I asked Ashley if she had seen it, and when she said no, Griselle and I immediately gasped in unison. Do you remember?
I do.
It was very dramatic.
I do.
And they're not exaggerating. It really was a gasp as if I had run over a small puppy or something.
Yes.
That's when I knew this work had to move to the top of my wish list. I'm wishing on a star. And my wish has not been granted, because next time we'll be traveling through a magic mirror to discuss the modern fairy tale, The Tenth Kingdom. If you're a fan of this 2000 TV miniseries, there's a good chance you too gasped just now when I said the title, since you have probably never heard anyone talk about it before. Griselle, do you remember last year, when it came up in our conversations the first time, you told me I was the only person you had heard mention it in about 17 years.
This is true.
It's one of those works that few people know of, but those who do tend to love it fervently. I truly believe just hearing someone say the title is a sign that you may have found a kindred spirit. Ashley, we're about to convert you into one of these kindred spirits, but as a newbie for now, tell us what you know about the Tenth Kingdom.
Nothing. I was one of those people. I had never heard of it, not even mentioned. I could not come up with any recollection, however faint, that I had ever been introduced to this, even in passing. It's a fairy tale. There are 10 kingdoms, maybe, and maybe... there's some kind of economic, diplomatic tangle. Maybe somebody's princess doesn't want to marry somebody else's prince, and shenanigans happen?
I can say right now, the Tenth Kingdom is definitely in all sorts of turmoil these days. Would you agree, Griselle?
I would say it is. There are many shenanigans.
What do you think is the connection to Soulless?
Soulless was an alternate history of Victorian England. So maybe this is an alternate history of something. Maybe we should have been learning about the Tenth Kingdom in American history or world history, but we haven't.
I definitely studied the Tenth Kingdom in American history.
Yep, I would agree.
Wow, that shed no light on what I think of this. If anything, I'm even more confused because I was just grasping for straws.
That is perfect.
Okay, so...
you'll find out soon enough.
I'm so excited now.
Griselle, what was the last time you saw the series?
I would probably guess and say maybe 2005.
About the same for me, maybe 2007, 2008. I've been meaning to do a rewatch for quite a while now, but honestly, I've been worried my love is filtered through nostalgia goggles, so I am both excited and terrified to revisit the series as an adult and to discuss it with you. We are going to watch the entire miniseries for our next episode, which is about 7 hours long, so set aside a full week to watch. Don't forget to make at least 6 bacon sandwiches, and do not burn the bacon. Then polish your finest leather shoes and join us next time as we talk about the Tenth Kingdom.
Episode 3, The Tenth Kingdom, will be posted on November 1st. In the meantime, you can find us at thebluestockingcircle.com, on Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest, and Tumblr, at Blue Sox Circle, socks spelled S-O-X, or you can always email us at thebluestockingcircle@gmail.com.
Cheers!
So there's bacon sandwiches.
There is a lot of food.
I love when there's food.